The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
What they've done to our nation, just think of it, what they've done to our nation. The stakes of this election could not be more clear. Either we surrender to the demonic forces abolishing and demolishing and happily doing so our country, or we defeat them in a landslide on November 5th, 2024. Either the deep state destroys America, or we destroy the deep state. That's the way it's got to be. We're at a very pivotal point in our country.
Like Billy Graham, well, he was like our Pope. I mean, he was he just it's hard to really put into words how much Billy Graham meant to my family growing up. And that's why it hurts when I see Franklin Graham still out there running resistance for this autocrat in waiting, this horrible, horrible human being who literally celebrates rioters. And, you know,
I think we've got an idolatry problem for a lot of Christian believers in this country who have come to, in many cases, prioritize and even worship this country over the kingdom in which their citizenship ultimately belongs. And that's a problem for a lot of Christians, and it's heartbreaking for a lot of Christians who are watching it from the outside as you're describing it.
But believing in the power of the word and the power of God and understanding that we're all flawed and we're all fail, and I certainly am at the top of that list, but people that would trade that in and prioritize a failed game show host with all the things he does every day, you talk about throwing pearls at swine. I mean, it is, Tim's exactly right. There's an idolatry problem here that I just don't get.
Lots of preaching going on over the weekend. That, of course, is Scarborough. He went on to say how that if these people would just read the red letters of the gospel works, then they'd know. They'd know that Donald Trump is evil. They would steer clear of Donald Trump. On the other side, you see Donald Trump there talking about demonic forces that we're fighting against. As he said, it just all of it together just made me think of this issue of the Trumpet magazine, Ready for War. If these people only knew what kind of spiritual war is going on at the moment. I'll give you some quotes from this article in just a bit. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on this first show of the week. You can get to the live stream of this video or this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. I've got picked up some congestion over the weekend, so to help me, in case I have to blow my nose on occasion, we've got lots and lots of clips lined up. Richard Palmer from the Edstone office has also been nice enough to give me, I think it's about 17 minutes, a news update from his stack of news items earlier today. So I'll see how the flow of the program goes. We may, as I told Sam before coming out here, it may be me, then Richard, then maybe Sam coming up to read some emails. Well, if we have to put Sam on the spot, we'll do that as well. But I feel pretty good. And I think even with more clips, you'll probably enjoy those anyway. I think there is some pretty good content that we can get to on this show this Monday morning. First, to quote some of the red letters in the Gospels. This is Matthew 15 and verse 7, where Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Isaiah prophesied of that, as Jesus quoted there. So did Ezekiel. You can see it at the end of Ezekiel 33. This is quite common in the world today. And there ought to be more preachers talking about the rank hypocrisy that's all over the world, but certainly in our nations, a hypocritical people. That's what God's assessment is. I've talked to you so often here in recent programs on the sickness in Israel today, the faint of heart in our nations today. This is Matthew 24, verse 37. It says, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's talk about those red letters. It's going to be just like it was before the flood of Noah's day. I mean, that's the extent of the sin that runs from this country, head to toe. There is a spiritual war going on. My father brings out in this article that the devil and his demon army, they know that God is orchestrating certain events revolving around this man, Donald Trump, and so they're fighting against it. There is a great spiritual war going on. As I say, if these talking heads only knew the extent of it. This is a CNN guy, again, speaking of religion. Everything's spiritual now. You can see that on both sides. I mean, just look at the past two presidencies. We'll not count the fake one here at the moment, but I mean, that's an extension of Obama. Look at how much they worshiped Barack Obama. And then, I mean, and to some extent, Scarborough is right in that there are people on the other side that practically worship Donald Trump. Everything is spiritual. This is what people are pinning their hopes on man. And what does Jeremiah 17 say? If you're going to put your trust in men or a man or yourself, you come under a curse. This was CNN's take on Trump's rally in Waco, Texas, clip 3.
This is a guy who went to Waco, Texas to bring back visions of David Koresh. I mean, he's got Ted Nugent, you know, following him around as a spiritual advisor. I mean, it's very strange what's going on right now with Donald Trump. I mean, just when you think it can't get worse, every week it's more and more.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember what happened in Waco there in the early 90s with David Koresh and his crazy and his bizarre religion. And that's what this guy is equating it to, a political rally with Donald Trump, attended by 15, 20,000 people. People lining up at the crack of dawn just so that they can get into that rally. Yes, as I say, many of them overboard in their love for or their trust in one man. But David Koresh, that's CNN commentary. It's unbelievable. And then you've got Scarborough lecturing us on the Gospels. This country needs some education in God's truth. For sure. It needs to be re-educated. The world needs to be re-educated. The process of salvation, as Herbert Armstrong so often said, it's a process of education. There's no truth in the land. There just is no truth. It's all being cast to the ground. And yet they come quoting scripture. Well, the devil even did that in Matthew 4. Quoted some good scripture. Jesus Christ put him in his place. Listen to Donald Trump again from Saturday, his rally Saturday in Waco, clip 15.
See, the abuses of power that we're currently witnessing at all levels of government will go down as among the most shameful, corrupt, and depraved chapters in all of American history. It's happening right before your eyes. But we're going to end up winning. The Biden regime's weaponization of law enforcement against their political opponent is something straight out of the Stalinist Russian horror show. And you know, we go Stalinist Russia. That's what it was. This was where it seems to have begun from the standpoint of us watching it in semi-modern day history. You go back to communist China or look at a third world banana republic. That's what we've become. Between our borders, our elections, and the weaponization of law enforcement, banana republic, that's what we have become. Let there be no doubt the injustices being done, not only to me, but to dozens across our country, will not stand, and we're not going to stand for it. When this election is over, I will be the President of the United States. You will be vindicated and proud, and the thugs and criminals who are corrupting our justice system will be defeated, discredited, and totally disgraced. That's what's happening. From the beginning, it's been one witch hunt and phony investigation after another. And you know, because of it, our country never talks about greatness anymore.
He's right about so much of that. It's something out of Stalinist Russia, this weaponization of law enforcement, as they try to take him down. And there's more talk now of the indictment coming down after the circus of last week. But just the persecution of Donald Trump and all things Trump. This was from the New York Times on Friday. What I'm reading to you is from the favored newspaper of the radical left. And it reminds me of that Time magazine piece after they stole the election. And remember, they came out later and had to basically say, here's how we did it. Here's how, they can't help themselves. The headline says it all. In Proud Boys' January 6th sedition trial, FBI informants abound. They're just all over the place. All of these top people in the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, you know about Ray Epps right there at the front, just really urging people to go forward into the Capitol. It says here, over the past 2 months, one subject has repeatedly come up at the trial of five Proud Boys accused of sedition in connection with the storming of the Capitol. Keep in mind, these individuals have been accused of sedition. And the subject that keeps coming up in the midst of these trials, the unusual number of informants that the FBI had in or near the group. The FBI was all over the place. Why didn't they stop it before it got started? Well, the truth is, they wanted it to happen. They needed it to happen to cover the election steal, to cover up the evidence of fraud. Says here, even before the trial began, defense lawyers had suggested that the Bureau had as many as eight informants in the far-right organization in months surrounding January 6, 2021. At least one of them from the group's chapter in Kansas City was in the throng of Proud Boys that marched on the Capitol that day. Yeah, he was right there participating. It didn't do anything to stop it, I guess. Just encouraging it along. Your FBI. It says here on Wednesday, new court, this is, again, Friday's New York Times, so this is from last week. But it says on Wednesday, new court papers revealed that there was yet another informant in Proud Boys' orbit, one who became uncommonly close to the people involved in the sedition trial. So we told you about that story, that breaking news, just last week. This gal who got not only close to the Proud Boys, their families, even the attorneys. The attorneys that the FBI is going up against in court. Why would the FBI need an informant to kind of mix it up? Not just before January 6th, after as well, months and months after January 6th happened. The spying continued. It says here, the newly disclosed informant, a Texas-based activist named Jen Lowe. An activist? Yeah, an activist. It says here, took part in prayer meetings with some of the defendants, relatives, and multiple contacts with defendants themselves while they had been in jail. She's also been in touch with some defense lawyers in the case, making what one of them, Nicholas Smith, has called a constant drumbeat of detailed inquiries. I mean, just seeking any and all kind of information that she can get and give it back to the FBI. Well, we got to send these guys off to prison after all. I mean, they're guilty of sedition. Ms. Lowe maintained that while she provided the government information about some of the defendants before the trial began, her interest in their families and legal situations was genuine. Oh, so she really did, this activist really did like the families. So that makes a big difference, I guess. Says here, it's hard to see people calling me a rat and a fed and things like that. So she's the victim, just like Ray Epps. His radical left-wing attorney, he's demanding an apology from Tucker Carlson now because Ray Epps is a victim. Alvin Bragg, another victim. The ones carrying out this persecution, they're as righteous, as pure as the driven snow. But Scarborough says, just read the red letters and you know that the only thing wrong with the United States is Donald Trump. It says here on Tuesday, for example, Judge Kelly quashed a subpoena and the defense had given to Kenneth Lizardo, a Massachusetts Proud Boy, who had what the judge described as a reporting relationship with the FBI. Here's another guy. He's got a relationship with the FBI. Kenneth Lizardo. It says here, Judge Kelly ruled that Mr. Lizardo could avoid testifying at the trial because if he were called, he planned to exercise his Fifth Amendment rights. Further on, the article says, on the day before the Capitol attack, Mr. Lizardo accompanied Mr. Tarrio, who was himself a former FBI informant. They're all informants. This is unbelievable. The Proud Boys are the FBI. That's basically what this amounts to. The FBI, they were the ones that coordinated the Whitmer kidnapping plot. If there were no FBI agents in the Whitmer kidnapping plot, there never would have been a plot. It says here, to meeting with Stuart Rhodes, the leader of the Oath Keepers militia, in an underground parking lot in Washington. At the time, Mr. Rhodes' chief lieutenant in the Oath Keepers, Greg McWhirter, the group's vice president, was also working as an informant for the Bureau. Did they have this many informants in the BLM and Antifa movement the summer of 2020 when something like 40 to 50 people, Americans, were murdered and who knows how many countless number of businesses burned to the ground? Were there any FBI informants involved in that? Were there any FBI informants that were there to try to prevent something like that from happening? Or did it just play out? Just let it play out from one city to the next to the next. Cities burning down. How many people are still suffering because of the violence, the burning, the looting, the killing that went on for the whole summer? Celebrating rioters. That's what Joe Scarborough says that Donald Trump does. He celebrates rioters. Really? Says, while not much is known about the identities of the other informants in the Proud Boys, the Bureau had placed secret sources in several chapters around the country, including in Cleveland and in Salt Lake City. It says, finally, during the trial, defense lawyers have also mentioned an informant known only as Danny Mack, who once led a Proud Boys chapter in New Jersey. Matthew Walter, a former chapter president from Tennessee, told the Times last month that he had a relationship with the FBI. Can you believe this? They all have a relationship with the FBI. And the FBI now is trying to put these ones, the few that didn't have a relationship with the FBI, they're trying to put them away for sedition. Sedition! Because of January 6th. Remember what happened on that day when Jacob Chansley just kind of casually walked through the halls of Congress with a police escort? He went off to prison for 4 years. 4 years. This is, as Trump pointed out in Waco, this is a shameful chapter in American history, particularly for law enforcement. This radical left, this communist infiltration that has thoroughly weaponized these law enforcement agencies, they're using them to go after political enemies. And as Donald Trump has said so many times, he's not the main target. It's you. It's patriots. It's ordinary Americans who love their country. Listen again to Donald Trump from Saturday, clip 16.
But this is really prosecutorial misconduct. That's what it's called. The innocence of people makes no difference whatsoever to these radical left maniacs. It is worse, actually, in my opinion. Hard to believe anything could be worse than this, but I think it's worse than ballot stuffing or media manipulation by the FBI working together with Twitter, Facebook, and the rest. Remember when that came out 4 weeks ago, that the FBI was working to make sure that nothing bad is said about Biden, but as much bad as possible is said about Trump. And you know, that had more of an impact even than Truth to Vote with the ballot stuffing, where they caught ballots being stuffed on tape, all live on tape. So we have to stop them from cheating in elections, because if we don't win this next election, 2024, I truly believe our country is doomed. I think it's doomed. Prosecutorial misconduct is their new tool, and they are willing to use it at levels never seen before in our country. We've had it, but we've never had it like this. We must stop them, and we must not allow them to go through another election where they have yet another tool in their toolkit.
The tool being weaponizing law enforcement to try to put him away so that he simply can't run for president next year. And as Trump points out there, it's worse. This is worse than ballot stuffing. It's worse than the media manipulation. Because this is using law enforcement to unjustly put people away, put them in prison. So he came out, let just go back over the timeline of the past week and a half. I mean, so many things, so many twists and turns. Sometimes it's hard to believe it all happens in just 1 week's time. But last week, I told you about how that it was NBC or CNN, I forget who basically broke the story on Friday evening, that the DA in New York was ready to issue the indictment for Donald Trump and even arrest him as early as the coming week, which would have been last week. And then it was Donald Trump who came out with all of these statements on Saturday. They're coming after me Tuesday. And you know what that effectively did? You had that one witness that not only testified in the grand jury, but he also went on Tucker's show Monday night. Then there was no indictment Tuesday, and more of this stuff was exposed. The fact that this attorney is rogue. He doesn't have a case. And you had more of the talking heads come forward on both sides saying, yeah, this is even people from the radical left admitted, yeah, this is a pretty thin case to try to take out Donald Trump with. What would have happened? There's lots of people. My father brings this out in America Under Attack, Ready for War. Most Republicans prefer Donald Trump or anyone like him to just quietly submit. Hey, Alvin Bragg, he wouldn't come forward with an indictment if it wasn't really, really serious. Donald Trump fights. Donald Trump is ready for war. He fought back. Now, we'll see what happens, but judging by what Bragg has already said, once they had egg on their face, then they said, well, Trump just said that we weren't even going to really come forward with the indictment. He was just using it as a ploy, a tool to raise campaign funding. He says, let me just give you a few quotes from Trump on Truth Social. He says, our country is being destroyed as they tell us to be peaceful. The talking heads didn't like that at all. That's not like Jesus. You see, you just have to peace. If you're on the other side, you can preach like Scarborough, but if it's Trump's side, you just keep quiet. Don't you dare talk about a protest, because those are violent. He said here, he referred to the death and the destruction that would come if we crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. He's right. He's right. How much longer would half of America put up with this attack? And if they put him away in the slammer, and in fact, you look at some of the prophecies talking about death and destruction. Look, it's going to come from both sides. That's what Jesus, in the red letters, talked about. That's right. But he says death and destruction, and I mean their heads explode. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump and a tweet is the problem. And here you've got this rogue prosecutor threatening Donald Trump over a private matter that happened years ago. As Alan Dershowitz says, the statute of limitations is already, I mean, it's already expired. And yet they continue. They continue. This was at the New York Post. This is Rupert Murdoch's. Just like with Fox News. I mean, only in the bizarro upside-down world of today can a tweet be seen as more serious, more dangerous, more evil than burning down Minneapolis. Michael Goodwin says here, Trump's social media warning early Friday, this goes back to last week, that death and destruction could follow if he's criminally charged in the Stormy Daniels case, came as he posted an image of himself holding a baseball bat next to a photo of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's head. Now, I think he since took that photo down. In any event, it says, "What kind of person," Trump wrote, "can charge another person, in this case, a former president of the United States, who got more votes than any sitting president in history and leading candidate by far for the Republican Party nomination, with a crime when it is known by all that no crime had been committed? And also, that potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for the country." I mean, he's not the only talking head that has said, if they send a former president and the leading Republican candidate right now, if they send him off to prison over this, I mean, there's going to be, maybe they didn't use the word death and destruction, but they've certainly, Lindsey Graham even, I forget what words he used, but he said the country will fall apart because of something like that. It's not like it's a crazy statement to say, if you do this, given the fact that I got 74 million votes, legitimate votes, people are going to explode. Goodwin says, "Sensible voters might reasonably ask what kind of person facing charges encourages mayhem, and what kind of defendant calls a prosecutor a degenerate psychopath." So you can't do that. You've got to say, look, never mind that he's backed by the radical communist George Soros. You cannot call him a psychopath because he campaigned on Get Trump. He promised his voters, this is what I'm going to do. And here he's just some local prosecutor, and he's trying to tie it to a federal crime. And it's not even, as Jim Comer said yesterday on one of the shows, it's not even his job to go after people on federal crimes. His job is to clean up New York City. But here's the New York Post. I mean, this is conservative, right? And the problem over the last 8-10 days is that Donald Trump stood up for himself and he fought back and he exposed this evil. He's got a letter from Stormy Daniels saying that it never happened, the affair. So how does this guy even put together a case based on the Stormy Daniels, based on money from his own pocket that he gave to Michael Cohen, who's a liar? And on something that happened, whether it's the relationship, 17 years ago, or the arrangement, what was it, 6-7 years ago? This is how they're going to take down Trump? So Trump fights back, and then you get these kinds of columns from the New York Post. You can't dare call him a psychopath. Well, I mean, everything's spiritual now. There is a lot of demonic activity going on. If people only knew the extent of it, as I said earlier. Listen again to, to finish this point on the rhetoric and how dangerous the radical left always says that it is. This is, forget her name, but she's on, or was on, that sham of a January 6th committee, clip 11.
The rhetoric that he's using today is not dissimilar to the type of rhetoric he used prior to January 6th. In fact, in some ways, it's more overt and blatant than the events leading up to January 6th. I mean, he posted a picture of himself holding a baseball bat next to the prosecutor in Manhattan, calling the prosecutor a number of horrible names like an animal and thug.
As I recall, Kathy Griffin held up a picture of a beheaded Donald Trump. And I believe they also had the play Caesar, Julius Caesar, in Central Park in New York City, where they were stabbing a Trump-like figure to death. And who can forget Madonna saying she had fantasized about killing, murdering Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. For Biden, Joe Biden said he wanted to take him behind the woodshed, I believe. So all of that's fine. All of that's fine. The reason they seethe with anger is because he fights back. He punches back. This is clip 10, Chuck Todd, his reaction to some of the tweets or Truth Socials, whatever they're called, clip 10.
Mr. Trump has described Alvin Bragg this week as a Soros-backed animal, said he was doing the work of anarchists and the devil, called him a degenerate psychopath. And he called him a Soros racist in reverse, saying this is the Gestapo. As his lawyer, do you stand by those comments? Would you advise a client to personally attack a prosecutor like this? I mean, it's dehumanizing, Mr. Tacopina.
It's dehumanizing to hurl names at someone. I mean, look, we're not here to say that that's the way you should handle any given dispute. But these people are, they're at the head of the line as far as hurling insults are concerned. We heard it for 7 years. Look at what they've not only called Donald Trump and his supporters, look at what they're doing to them. Look at the fruits. You know, in the red letters of Matthew 7, Jesus said, judge by the fruits. Judge by the fruits. So he has a rally, and what, 15, 20,000 people show up in Little Waco, Texas. He just won't go away. He won't. In fact, his support, it's growing. His support is growing. So that's why, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place, the radical left. Because they know no one else, including anyone on their side, is going to be able to generate the kind of enthusiasm during a political campaign. They know they've really used all the aces they had up their sleeves for fraud and stealing the election. There's going to be a lot more eyeballs on it this time. And then, as Trump alluded to in Waco, I mean, the chances of more people turning out, more Democrats even, turning out to vote for Trump, given what they're witnessing, given what they're seeing, Alan Dershowitz made this point. I'm not sure if I can jump ahead right to the first. We'll just play the first one from Dershowitz, clip 7.
I don't think an indictment can actually come forward now after the comments made by Costello. He has proved that the main witness is going to be a perjuring liar on the witness stand. And that puts the district attorney in a terrible position. If he uses Cohn as a witness, he could actually lose his bar license. It's unethical to put a witness on the stand who you know is lying, and he has to know that Cohn will be lying. Or he tries the case without Cohn, which is very difficult, or he does the right thing. He drops the case.
I forget what that was on, but Fox News, it looks like. But the other one, number, this is 13, fellas. He's on OAN, and he's talking about how that if it were to happen, if they actually did cuff him, put him in the orange jumpsuit, which they're all salivating for on the radical left side, if that did happen, it would only make him even more popular. Clip 13.
Their agenda is to prevent him from running for president. It won't work. It will backfire. If he is indicted and there's a mugshot, it will be the most famous mugshot since Frank Sinatra, and it will be put on T-shirts. It will be used as a campaign poster for Donald Trump. He will take advantage of that. And I have already gotten letters from people saying, you know, I wasn't planning to vote for Trump. I'm a Democrat, or I'm a DeSantis person. I wasn't planning to vote for him, but now I have to protest what's happening to law in America, that it's being weaponized, that it's being used selectively, that if today it's used against Trump, tomorrow it can be used against a Democrat, and the day after tomorrow against your Uncle Charlie or your niece or you or me. And so we have to stand up against this.
We have to stand against it. You remember Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, the former governor? He's resigned in disgrace. But the former governor that, you know, killed all the the homes with all those people from COVID. But the left just loved him. They loved him. He's a good radical leftist. Listen to what even he admitted about this Alvin Bragg case against Donald Trump. This is clip 1.
The indictment was supposed to come this week. It didn't come. I believe it comes next week. The expression for a prosecutor is you can indict a ham sandwich because the prosecutor controls the entire indictment process. So I'm sure they'll get an indictment. I don't understand why Bragg is putting such emphasis on this case. A person breaks the law. I get it. But on the state side, this is a misdemeanor case. It's really a federal case because he needs it to be a campaign finance fraud case, which is a federal case. You have a cynical public. They don't believe anyone. And when you start to see these prosecutors bringing political cases, it just affirms everybody's cynicism. I don't believe any of this. And I think that's what the people of this country are saying. And it just feeds that anger and that cynicism and the partisanship. Hi, it's a coincidence that Bragg goes after Trump and Tish James goes after Trump and Georgia goes after Trump. That's all a coincidence. And I think it feeds the cynicism. And that's the cancer in our body politic right now.
You know, the case has fallen apart. If you can't even convince Andrew Cuomo, he was on, that's not him on the screen, that's the host of the radio show. But even Andrew Cuomo knows, even he knows that this is all, same with Tish James, same with Georgia going after Trump for supposedly intimidating Raffensperger or whoever. This has been the case for years. Impeachment one, impeachment two. It's the same storyline. And then he goes to the campaign rallies and still tens of thousands show up. Listen to Jonathan Turley. I mean, he's a Fox contributor, but I don't think he's a really conservative commentator by any means. This was his take over the weekend, clip two.
Bragg is taking a New York misdemeanor, which, by the way, is expired. It only has a 2-year statute of limitations. And he's essentially bootstrapping that into a felony. But he intends, according to reports, to prove a federal crime that the Department of Justice itself declined to prosecute. Now, that effort, he's losing already the court of public opinion. A poll came out showing roughly 60% of people viewed this as politically motivated. But he's playing to a jury pool in New York, and the likelihood of finding a Trump supporter in the New York jury pool, it's about the same as finding a Triceratops. I mean, it's not that likely. But he also has judges in New York who I think are going to look askance at this and say, wait, you're a state prosecutor and you're going to prove a federal crime? I think he's got a rough road ahead. But what he has done is handed Trump proof positive of his long narrative. This is a political prosecution.
He's handing Donald Trump a gift, basically. This issue, again, if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, you can call our operators today and receive a free 1-year subscription. You get tomorrow's news today with this magazine. We still produce a magazine. That's right. We've got our website, of course, thetrumpet.com. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. You see the headline there with that January issue, Ready for War. I mean, the language, it springs from 2 Kings 14. This is what my father wrote. These are the battle lines. On one side are Satan's forces led by one man. As we will see, Bible prophecy calls this man an end-time Antiochus because of the way the devil used Antiochus Epiphanes anciently to try to blot out the name of Israel. Who is this man today? God says, you shall know them by their fruits. That's red letters in Matthew 7. Who is leading the entire movement to fundamentally transform America in destructive ways? I mean, the nation's just being destroyed on so many levels, in so many different ways. And who's leading that movement? That would be Barack Obama. Made an appearance over the weekend with his wife for the first time, I think, in 5 months. Some odd things go on in Washington, D.C., all over the world, in fact. So many of these leaders just corrupt through and through. And their goal, their aim is to destroy, to make this nation desolate, to blot out even the name. My father says, on the other side, again, this is all part of the war, right? On the other side, this is prophecy. It's not that we're even pitting ourselves against one or the other side. We're on God's side. We're just telling you what God has to say about what's happening in the nation of Israel today, or the nations, plural, in particular Manasseh, here, the United States. But you've got these two forces, Antiochus and Jeroboam, as I said at the top, more and more of it. Even the people on those two sides see that there's some kind of spiritual war going on here. On the other side, you have a modern-day Jeroboam. It says, since this is the man God is using to save the nation temporarily, it is this man whom Satan and his Antiochus fight most viciously. You see, this explains why it's so vicious. why it's so unhinged, deranged. It's so demonic, as Donald Trump correctly said in Waco over the weekend. Demonic forces. It says here, Scripture shows that this Antiochus type is deeply influenced by the devil, even at times possessed. It says he is Satan's number one disciple in this society, and he's doing some horrible things. And then my father goes on and describes some of the things happening in our nation. And look at what we're seeing. Play that last clip from Waco. This is number 17.
You know, by having this delay of 4 years, it was devastating for the psyche of our country. It was devastating for our country, devastating for many people. When you look at millions and millions and millions of people pouring into our country, devastating. But, you know, the one thing, it's bigger. If we do it in 24, it's much bigger than had we done it in 20, because we have learned how this other side and how these policies don't work.
That's basically Donald Trump saying that if there's one positive to take away from this interim, you know, we've seen almost 2.5 years of it, 2.5 years of bitter affliction. If there's one positive to this, he says to his supporters, it's that we've seen just how evil it is. And we've seen, you could add to that, we've seen on which side people stand. Again, my father talks about that in this article, Ready for War. He talks about it at length in America Under Attack. It says here, it's astounding that these establishment Republicans would rather live under the tyrant Barack Obama than support senators who back and support Donald Trump. You see, where are all of these senators? Mitch McConnell, I guess he was in the hospital for a while, but what about all these other senators that line up behind McConnell every time he comes out to make a statement? What's their position on Bragg's case against Donald Trump, or lack thereof? Why aren't they out there denouncing it? People keyed in on Ron DeSantis last week, a missed opportunity for him to come out strongly and say, look, never mind the campaign. We'll sort that out during the Republican primary if I do run. But, you know, Donald Trump's a resident in my state. They're not going to come down here and arrest him. They're not going to get their photo op with him in cuffs. Instead of saying something strong like that, he took a jab at Trump. So you see, it's all politics. And he ends up hurting himself because of it. Because, again, it's Donald Trump that generates the enthusiasm and the widespread support. Still, after all the persecution, this was Steve Hilton last night on his Fox program talking about DeSantis and his flip-flopping on Ukraine, saying one thing to Tucker a week or two ago, and then clarifying that with Piers Morgan, clip 4.
Piers and Tucker have completely different views on Ukraine, but Ron Dukakis was trying to agree with them both. It is weakness and incompetence and flip-flopping and pandering, all squished into one deeply unserious episode.
Pretty hard-hitting commentary there for the up-and-coming governor that until 2 seconds ago, everybody on the conservative right loved. This was an interesting little reveal over the weekend. This was on a Fox News panel, or maybe it was Fox Business. I forget. But it's on with Larry Kudlow, this guy named Mark Simone. Listen to what he said about DeSantis's campaign. Clip 5.
Who's running his campaign?
The Bushes are all tangled up with him. Bush, that can raise him $1 billion and get him all kinds of money.
Jeb Bush. George Bush.
Yeah, they're great.
Karl Rove is involved.
I assume he'll be the coach on the field. I think he is.
But do you know that he's been advising DeSantis?
He's been Karl advising Rove. Him. That's why DeSantis has been getting a little better and better every week. But
Karl's a pretty smart fellow.
They're all very smart. You saw what they did for Jeb Bush. It works in normal times. I don't think they're ready for Donald Trump.
Isn't that interesting? Some of these guys are Fox News contributors, Karl Rove at least. And here they are, just a casual little back and forth, and we find out who's behind the you know who was on this from the very beginning is Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. He said, look, he's establishment, Ron DeSantis. This says Bush Cheney written all over it. Listen to this from the New York Times. It says, to me, DeSantis looks like a Bush Republican as much or as more than he does a Trump one. He shares the majoritarian aspirations of Bush, as well as the open contempts for dissent. DeSantis shares the cruelty with a national political image built, among other things, on a campaign of stigma against trans and other gender nonconforming Americans. This is the New York Times, obviously. But it says here, despite his pretenses to the contrary, DeSantis is very much the image of a member of the Republican establishment. There's so many of them. There's so many of them. Why won't they fight for these grave injustices? Why won't they stand up for law and order? The nation's falling apart. Well, they see some of the problems, but they don't fight the other side. They won't even get out and denounce it, because you just can't do that. Because name-calling, if you're on the radical left side, name-calling coming from the other side is the chief capital sin of all. What they see as problematic over the past 10 days is something, some dumb statement that Donald Trump makes on Truth Social. Well, as I say, there's more to it than that, because he fights back. He fights back. And we're engaged in warfare. There's a political war going on. There's a war of words going on. And Trump, I mean, he's on to something when he talks about the destruction that's coming because of this, that we've said so many times before. I mean, Bible prophecy speaks of the communist infiltration of the United States, and Herbert Armstrong was talking about that 70, 75 years ago. When communists take over, once they have control of everything, well, you see how they use law enforcement. You see how they abuse it. Coming back to DeSantis, though, I mean, here's this guy, Mark Simone, saying, yeah, it's Bush. I mean, they can generate the billions, the big Republican donors. They got Bush, they got Karl Rove. And then on the same weekend, on the same network, you listen to Karl Rove, and he's there presenting himself as someone that's, like, you know, objectively looking at the political scene on the Republican side. This is clip six.
What he's setting up is a contrast between himself and the former president, because there are a lot of people who say, you know what, I like what Donald Trump did, but I don't like what we had to put up with. And, you know, the idea, for example, in this current case, that he paid $130,000 in hush money to a porn star, a stripper, in order to hide an alleged affair with her, that doesn't help you in a general election when you're trying to get swing voters.
Right.
And so what he's trying to say is look at me. I'm the governor of Florida who just got reelected by 20 points in what traditionally has been a battleground state. And I did it because I focus on the business. Right. I'm the no drama governor.
They so desperately want DeSantis to supplant Donald Trump as the head of the party. They're desperate. But what a fraud, really. I mean, again, these are individuals. Some of them have some conservative policy values here and there. But here, he's running the campaign secretively. According to Simone, he's running DeSantis's campaign, and then he's, you know, commentary. DeSantis is trying to create a little bit of difference so that people can see that he won Florida by 20 points. He's really super popular, they say, as they're out there trying to sell their own candidate. What was the March issue of the Trumpet magazine? All of the fakery and the phoniness. I probably took it home with me the other day. No, here it is. March, just 2 months ago. Well, I mean, it's currently March, I know, but we've already had the April issue up here. But the headline there, fake. You can just do so many things today with technology and with the narrative that you craft and that you create and the things that you leave out. It's just like Alvin Bragg. And when he puts together the case, I mean, obviously there's going to be hundreds of pages of exculpatory evidence that he leaves out. He doesn't want the grand jury to see everything. Certainly not the evidence that would show Donald Trump is innocent. So he leaves it out and he creates a narrative. It's all over the place, isn't it? Whether you're coming up with an indictment you're trying to issue, or the news that you're reporting on that night or in the morning, or the column that you write in the New York Times, it's all about the craft. Ben Rhodes told us this years ago. I mean, they're so stupid, he said. He was talking about the journalists that he dealt with. They were so stupid that they'd believe anything. And then those journalists, of course, produce content that they think anyone will believe. Well, a lot of it, like Trump said in Waco, a lot of it's being exposed all the more because of this radical left takeover of the United States. Did I play all of his clips from Waco? I see, as you probably see, that I have well passed my time for squeezing in Richard Palmer's segment. I thought I was going to leave early today. I should have come in and said, hey, let's do one for 90 minutes. I suppose we can if we wanted. But maybe what we can do is we'll take a short break and then I'll come back and tidy things up and then close off like usual. You're listening to Stephen Fleury and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
So today, I applaud China for stepping up. Excuse me, I applaud Canada. You can tell what I'm thinking about China. I won't get into that yet.
That's the fake president in Ottawa on Friday. That happened after the show, after we finished our show. But he's there speaking to Canadian authorities, saying that he's here to applaud China. What a term to misspeak to you. He's any other nation, and then he goes on and says, "You can see what I'm thinking." Here, this is just a week or two after it's been revealed that his family's on the take from a Chinese company with ties to the CCP. Today, I'm here to applaud China. Well, I should say that you are. He's got China on the brain. His whole family does, because they've sold out. Jim Comer made those revelations. How many talking heads did that get any play on the Sunday shows when Comer came out and said, "Yeah, they're all taking millions from China, the CCP." Remember Peter Ducey last week? He asked KJP, "Hey, what are they getting paid for?" I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get into it. Just forget about it. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, you just got to get Trump, as Dershowitz says with the title of his new book. Just get him. That's what this is about. From our article, Ready for War, my father says, after all the terrible attacks on this man for the past 6 years, speaking of Donald Trump, it's remarkable that he has the stamina and determination and fight to keep doing battle for this country. It says he is a man ready for war. You need to watch Jeroboam. He's going to war his way back. That's from the January issue of the Philadelphia Trumpet, as I said. If you don't have a subscription, call our operators today and request your free one-year subscription. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you want to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. trumpeddaily.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.